Daniel chapter number 3, we're going to begin reading verse number 28, but before we do, just kind of refresh and maybe clarify just a little bit as we get into the lesson tonight. We talked for several weeks about when God doesn't make sense to us and us being able to trust God in the middle of those things. And then last week we began the thought process of what are we willing to go through in order for God to get glory out of our lives or to point someone else to the cross of Christ. And last week we used the scripture where Jesus was praying in the garden, and even as Jesus was praying in the garden and he knew that he was going to be taken to the cross, that he was willing to say, "Father, not my will, but thy will be done." And even, you know, that Christ had his own will, and his will personally may not have been to go through the pain of the cross, but he knew that his Father's will and his Father's purpose and the mission that he was here for was more important than anything that he could have in his will. So he said, "God, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. And if this cup can't pass from me, then I'll go wherever that your will is for my life." And last week, I sort of felt like I had a hard time describing what we was going to get into. And then when I got in the car, I told Autumn, I said, "That was kind of a heavy thought, wasn't it?" I said, "That's when you get to thinking about, okay, God, I want to completely surrender my life to you. I want to surrender my life so much to you that whatever you want to do with my life, I'm okay with." And Autumn, she didn't really say, "Yeah, that was a real heavy thought," or "It wasn't a good thought," or nothing like that. She said, "Well, just don't go home and pray for God to make us sick or anything. I don't want you to do that." So maybe I need to clarify the thought that I'm having. I want us, as we get into this scripture and as we look at some examples and some very familiar events in the Bible, I want us to look, and I want us to look into some people's lives that was so willing, and they were so set, they were so strong with their faith, that no matter what came their way, they were willing to give God glory with their life, and they were willing to allow God to use their life to get glory or to point someone else to the cross of Christ. So no, again, I'm not saying go home and pray that God put cancer on you so that God can get glory from your life. I'm not saying that you should go home and just say, "God, I want bad things to happen to me if that's what it takes to get glory." I just want us to have the mindset of saying, "Okay, God, whatever comes my way, God, whatever your will is for my life, whether it be your sovereign will or whatever, however you want to look at it, God, whatever happens in my life, I want you to use it, and I want to be so strong in my faith that it can be used that you will get glory or that somebody else will come to the cross of Christ." So maybe let's give an example of this tonight. Daniel chapter number 3, very familiar scripture. I'm not going to read it all. We probably will discuss it a little bit in depth. But as we get into Daniel chapter number 3, we know that the children of Israel, they're in a Babylonian captivity. They've been taken captive and have been there long enough that maybe these guys that are here may have even been youngsters when they were taken into captivity, but they've kind of moved up. They've got some rank. They were kind of like favorites of King Nebuchadnezzar. But as these guys go through what they go through, I'm sure that if you had asked them if this was what they wanted to go through in their life, they probably would have said, "No, this is not what we would choose." But they were so strong in their faith, and they were so strong in trusting in God that whatever came their way, that God was able to use it to get glory. So at the end of the story, we're going to start at the end of the story, and I want you to see that the glory that God was able to get from their life. Now, when we start reading right here, and it says, "Then Nebuchadnezzar," we know that Nebuchadnezzar was an evil king, that he was just against God. And you can go back and you can read how he ended up grazing in a field, even eating grass when it was all said and done. But as we get to Nebuchadnezzar right here in verse number 28, I want you to see what happened here. "Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, 'Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.'" Now wait a minute, this guy at the beginning of the story, as you get into this, he was so cocky and he was so struck on himself that he wanted everybody to worship him and this golden image that he was going to make. See, he made this golden image and he began to invite all the important people to come and to worship this golden image. And most of you know exactly how this story goes, but for the sake of getting into it and kind of reliving the event that happened here in the Bible, let's talk about it for a minute. So as all these important people were invited and they were told, "I want you to come and you're going to be part of a celebration. You're going to be part of an event that the king is putting on. And the king is inviting you specially because he has made this golden image and he wants everyone to come and to see this golden image." And as everybody gets there, and I'm telling you, from the top all the way down, they were told, as you get there, now look, we're going to start playing some music. And as we start playing this music, I want you to forget everything else. Don't worry about who you normally worship. Don't forget about who you normally set up. We want you to, as you hear this music, we want you to fall down and worship this golden image that Nebuchadnezzar had made. Because he has made something that's so much better than anything else that you could possibly worship. The Bible tells us as they begin to play the music and all the important people and all the chief priests and all these really fancy people begin to fall down. They begin to worship this golden image that Nebuchadnezzar had made. And then there stands three old boys over all by themselves that has not fallen down and has not begun to worship the golden image. Now as you look back and these guys that were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is the way that we know them, but they were Hebrews, so they had Hebrew names before the king had gave them these other names of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And their Hebrew names were Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Shadrach was Hananiah, and his name meant the Lord is gracious. Meshach was Mishael, and his name meant who like God. And Abednego was Azariah, and his name was the Lord helps. And as they stand there, and these three guys are, like I said, they have kind of become pets of the king, and he looks on them and looks favorably unto them. And somebody comes and says, now, Nebuchadnezzar, look, you've told us that as we hear all these different instruments that we're supposed to fall down and we're supposed to worship this golden image. And these three guys who are in captivity, these three guys who are supposed to be your servants, they won't fall down. They're not obeying your command. Now, how do you expect all of us to obey your command if you can't even make servants of yours, slaves of yours? How do you expect us to fall down and listen to you if these guys are not even doing it? So Nebuchadnezzar says, bring them to me. So here they come with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And the king says, now look, I've heard that you're not falling down. You're not worshiping this golden image. Now, all these important people are, and I realize you might be a little bit confused. I know you're Hebrew, and I know you may not understand exactly what I want you to do. And, you know, you are kind of favored by me. So, guys, I'm not going to be so hard on you. I'm going to give you another chance. I'm going to allow you another opportunity, and I want you to know that this time when all of you just may not, you may have just misunderstood what I wanted you to do. You may have just had questions. So let me just put it real plain for you. And this time when you hear all this music, all you got to do is fall down and worship my golden image. This thing that I have made that is more spectacular, that is better than any god that you could possibly worship, you just got to fall down and worship it. It's simple. It's no big deal. You know, ain't that kind of what we're fed? Ain't that the bull malarkey that we're fed now, that just accept what everybody else is doing and it don't matter? It's really not that big of a deal. Well, I want to tell you something. When it comes to letting things get before the one true God, it is a big deal. And we got to have a little bit of spine, a little bit of backbone to us to say, you know what? If that's the way that you want to believe, that's okay. I'm not gonna hate you for it, and I'm not gonna pound you in the brain for it or nothing else. But I'm not gonna accept it because I know what the true word of God says, and I'm not gonna compromise with you. I'm not gonna say it's okay. I'm gonna tell you what. I'm gonna stand on the truth, and I'm gonna love you and pray for you and hope that the Holy Spirit reveals the truth to you. That's where we got to be. So now as these three guys are, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and here comes the king, he says, I know you probably didn't understand, so look, we're going to play all this music in, y'all just fall down and worship. It ain't no big deal. It ain't no big deal. And I want you to look what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego looks at him and says, O king, we're not even careful to answer you. We don't even have to think about the question that you're asking us. We don't even have to take a second thought of it because we made up our mind a long time ago that there is only one true God and there's only one God that we'll ever worship. So Nebuchadnezzar, he says, now guys, you want to be sure about this, because if you don't fall down and worship, we're going to bind you hand and foot and we're going to throw you into the fiery furnace. And not only are we going to throw it in there, we're going to heat it up 7 times hotter than it's ever been heated before, and we're going to throw you in there. So I just want you to know, you can either do this thing that's really not a big deal. It's not going to change your relationship with God. You know, this is just something that you can do. Or you can stand like you're standing, and it's going to cost you your life. You're going to be thrown into the fiery furnace. Now, I wonder tonight, if we had that same opportunity, if we had that same dilemma, if we were standing in front of a king tonight and him saying, look, you can either do this little thing and it's really not going to be that big of a deal. You can just go through the motions. You don't have to mean it from your heart. It's not really going to change anything. And you can either do this and make me happy, or you can keep standing and it's going to cost you your life. I wonder what we would do tonight. Now look, I hope that I never have to find out. I hope that you never have to find out. But I think that we should be in a place spiritually. I think that we should be searching God so strongly in our lives. We should have our relationship so close with God that before that time could ever come in our life, that we've already got our mind made up which way we would go. That we would already be in a place, and I know it's easier to think about now before you're in that state, before you're in that place where you, that dilemma that you'd have to make that decision, but I think it's important that we structure our lives as Christians as that right now, that no matter what, even if it costed me my life, I will stand for God. Even if it costs me of being different than anybody else, even if it costs me of somebody really important looking at me and saying, you're going to disappoint me if you do this, even if it costs me of having to be different than everybody else that's in the crowd, all the important people that's there, even if it costs us a little bit of humiliation, it doesn't matter me, because I'm going to set my mind that I'm going to worship God, that I'm going to stand true to God, and no matter the outcome, I'll never worship anything but the one true God. That's the thought process that I want us to be able to get to. That's the thought process that I want to be able to get to. Not so much that we're going home and we're asking God to do things in our lives to get glory, but that we're saying, God, no matter what comes in my life, I will do my best to stand for you, and I will do my best to allow every situation that I'm ever put in, every dilemma that I'm put in, I'll do my best to let my decision reflect in a way that, God, you get glory out of it, or that somebody else is pointed to the cross of Christ. God, I want you to use my life. I want to surrender my physical life. You know, I surrendered my heart to him a long time ago when I was 7 years old, and I said, God, I know that I can't do anything about my sin. There's no possible way. I can't be worthy of salvation. I can't do enough good works. I can't be perfect. So God, I trust you with my heart, and God, I trust you with my sin to forgive me and to make me one of yours. But so many times I fail in saying, God, I trust you in my physical life. I trust you in my physical being. God, it's all yours. You take me and use me in any way that you want to. And I believe that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had come to a place where they said, God, we trust you no matter what, we'll stand for you. And because they were in that place, look how Nebuchadnezzar changed. Look at his thought process. Because I believe if we get to that place, we will reflect so much of God that other people will be affected by the way that God is using our life. Listen, then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servant. What do you mean, sent his angel? Well, see, there's a little more to the story. Because not only does Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego have to get to the place where they say, we could care less about what everybody else is doing, don't you know they felt awkward being the three guys still standing? Have you ever had to stand up for something that you believe in, something that you know is right, maybe even just a conviction that God gave you? Have you had to stand up and be a part, be different than everybody else? Sometimes it feels kind of weird, don't it? It puts you in a place, you know. One night, I know I've shared this story with you before, but I was at a manager's meeting. It was one of the first ones that I'd went to, and there was a whole lot of stuff going on over here that I didn't want to be part of, and I was sitting there, and I felt like a duck out of water. I mean, I was about as odd as you could get. And I went over there, and I was standing and talking to some guys, and they was all doing some different things, and I reached in my pocket and got my phone. Peter said, hello? There wasn't nobody there, no more than nothing. I was like, oh, yeah, hang on, man. Let me get it. And the whole time I'm walking away, I'm saying, God, please don't let my phone ring. Please don't let my phone ring. Because they're all going to know that I'm really not talking to anybody if my phone rings. So I stood over for about 15 minutes pacing back and forth like I was on my phone. But anyway, and I got myself out of the situation. Sometimes when you're the one that's different, it feels odd. And don't you know that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that somewhere in the back of their mind, hey, they weren't superhuman. They were humans just like us. Don't you know that they felt odd just like me and you would in that situation? Here's all of these important people. I don't want to be different. I don't want to be the one standing out. Well, I'm going to tell you what, I believe that God is looking for some people that want to be different and that want to stand out. And he wants to use us for his glory. And as Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego was sitting there, and they said, you know what? We're going to be different. We're going to stand. We don't care. Hey, thank God that they had two others standing with them. Each one of them did. Stand together, Christians. I believe that's the reason that the Bible tells us to prefer you one another. I believe that's the reason he tells us he wants us to hang out together so that we can stand together. But as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're standing there and everybody else is bowing and they don't. And the king comes and says, I'm going to throw you in the fiery furnace. And they go, okay, that's what you got to do. That's what you got to do. Man, what faith that took. And you know, it's easy to talk the talk, but these guys were willing to walk the walk. When the king said, okay, if that's what you want, guys, bind them hand and feet. Bind them up. Heat the furnace up 7 times hotter than it's ever been heated before. The Bible tells us that they took those 3 guys and they bound them up. They took them over and they throwed them into that fiery furnace. And the Bible even says that that furnace was so hot that the people that held them to throw them into the fire was killed because of the heat. So this ain't no game. This wasn't something that was just, you know, this is true. And as we look at this and we say, well, you know, I might have been able to talk the talk. And you know what? I do a whole lot of talking the talk here on Sunday morning. I do a whole lot of talking the talk when I'm fellowshipping with you guys. I do a whole lot of talking the talk when we're talking about how good God is and how we don't need to compromise and how we need to stand out and be different and how that the Bible tells us that God has called us out from among the world. It's easy to talk that talk, but what about on Monday when it comes time to walk the walk? Or on Thursday when it comes time to walk the walk? That's where I need strength in my life. That's where I need to say, God, I need some help in my life. It's not that I'm praying for something bad to happen in my life. It's so that when Monday comes and things happen that puts me to the test, that God can use my life for his glory or to point someone else to the cross of Christ. So yeah, these guys, they were willing to walk the walk, and they got thrown into the fiery furnace because they said, you know what? We're the Lord. We know. Because the king asked them, said, do you think your God's really able to deliver you from my fiery furnace? And they said, O king, we know that he's able, but whether he does or not makes no difference. We're going to worship him either way. That's where I want my faith to get. That's where I want my strength to get. Hey, I know that if something really bad comes in my life tomorrow, let's just use this because it seems to be one of those things that's so common anymore. If I have cancer tomorrow, and I go to the doctor and they decide that I have cancer, and I'm not making light of this whatsoever, I'm just using it for an example, I know without a doubt that if I get cancer tomorrow, that my God is able to heal me of that cancer. No doubt. He's the great physician. He made my body. He knows what's going on in my body. He's able to do absolutely anything he wants to. But where I want to be is if that's what happens in my life and that's what takes place in my life, to where I could come to the point and I want to get it set in my mind before it ever happens. I want to be decisive about it. I want to know that before anything like that could happen, that God, whether you heal me, I know you can heal me, but whether you heal me or whether you don't, I'm going to stand for you and I want you to use me for your glory. I think it's important that we prepare for that. I think it's important that we prepare our hearts and our mind to where we're willing to say, God, no matter what, I'm willing to be used for your glory. So then as Nebuchadnezzar says, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, hath sent his angel and delivered his servants and trusted in him. See, as they were thrown in that fiery furnace, the Bible tells us that after a little bit, and I'm sure that, Nebuchadnezzar, he feel like he was going to look over in there and tell her about, see, boys, that's what happens when you don't do what I say. That's what happens when you don't recognize what I tell you to bow down to, because I'm the king. But the Bible tells us that he went over and peeped over in there, and he goes, hang on, man, what's going on? Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, 3. Did we not throw 3 guys into the fiery furnace? Yeah, king, that's what we did. Well, then how come there's 4, and the 4th is likened unto the Son of God? That's what we got to know, that whether God decides to miraculously, hey, he could have killed the whole slew of people that was there, and he could have set the 3 guys loose before they ever experienced the fire. But what we got to know is even if we stand and if God is using us for his glory to point someone else to the cross, that he's never going to leave us. He's never going to forsake us. That he'll be with us. If we end up in the fiery furnace and it's for him to get glory, that he's going to be there right with us, that we don't have to ever go through that alone. That's where I want my mind to understand. That's where I want my faith to be able to get to. Because look right here. Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted him and changed the king's word. You know what? I don't care what kind of laws they want to write, what kind of laws they want to change. That you can change all the king's word you want to, but you'll never change the king of kings' word. This right here, it's solid. It's sealed. It's settled. We don't have to worry about that. He says, but he changed the king's word because they were not killed in the fiery furnace. They was glorifying God in the middle of the fiery furnace, and have yielded their bodies. They were willing to give their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own. Therefore, I make a decree. Don't turn my page. That every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Now, I'm sure when they were going through this that they were like, okay, I'm not really sure about this. I believe they had their mind made up, but you can imagine what was going through their mind when they went to binding them up, carrying them toward that fiery furnace. Now, I believe these three guys were probably young guys and smart aleck enough just to think, okay, do what you got to do. We're going to be all right. But I'm going to tell you, from my experience, you start binding me and tell me you're going to throw me in a fiery furnace, I know what's going to go through my mind. But look at the glory that God was able to get out of what we would think is a bad situation. Look at the glory that God, hey, it's wrote in God's word. It's been shared for thousands of years. You and I are still talking about it tonight. October the 24th, 2018, you and I are still talking about the glory that God got because these three guys said, no matter what, we'll stand for God. Amen. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Not only did God deliver them, but the king said, you know what? Anybody that's that close, you're going to go up. You're promoted. You know what? I know that God don't always deliver the way that he did with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Sometimes he delivers in such a much better way, and he takes us on to glory and whatever. But you know, I just want us to, as we get into this study, as we begin to look at this, would we be willing to stand out and be different in order for God to get glory? Would we be willing for everybody else to be looking at us going, who do they think they are? Those holy rollers. Those holier than thous. Would we be willing to stand out and be different that God could get glory from our lives? Would we be willing to say, okay, whether we know that God is able to deliver us, but whether he does or not, I'm going to worship him? That's where I want to be in my faith. I was really encouraged last Wednesday night after I got done teaching. I was talking with Joanne and Robert for just a minute, and they were kind of sharing again with me just a couple of thoughts that they had. And that said, you know, it's amazing to see the glory that God is getting out of your life. And I think it was Joanne looked at me and said, but you know what? We were not ready for that until we got there. So what I want to do is just pray and ask God to start preparing my heart so that if it does come, that I can be able to give him glory. That I won't let it turn me bitter, that I won't let him turn me away, that I won't fall, that I won't fail, that I won't come short, but I'll be willing to let him use me for his glory. God didn't have to perform a miracle for them. They loved him. They trusted him before the miracle ever happened. I want my heart to be prepared so that whatever comes my way, God can use me for his glory, or I can point someone else to the cross. I still, every day, I have no trouble trusting God for my salvation. I have no trouble with that whatsoever because I know that's completely, totally out of my control. But I do have trouble sometimes trusting him with my day in and day out life, with everything in my life. And I just want to completely surrender to him and say, God, use me for your glory, or to point someone else to the cross. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for all that you do. God, I know as I stand here and teach this that, God, I should be sitting somewhere listening and letting somebody else teach this to me. God, I pray, dear Father, dear Lord, as we go through this life, and God, sometimes we may be challenged. We may have dilemmas to come in our lives, God, but help us to be in a place that we are mentally prepared, that we're spiritually prepared, that we're physically prepared to say, God, whatever comes my way, I'm going to stand for you, and God, I want you to use me for your glory, and that somebody else may come to know Jesus Christ. God, help us as we leave here tonight. I've stood here for the last 20, 25, 30 minutes, whatever, and talked the talk. But God, as I go out those doors into the real world, help me to walk the walk and to point others to you. In Jesus' name, amen.